Yvette, would you start with your file from student affairs, please?
We have just two informational items and to report on campus safety. That Dean's going to report on campus safety with a video.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'd like to thank you for allowing me an opportunity to come before you and tell you a little bit about our closed circuit TV system that we have on the campus. In the interest of time, I'm going to be very brief. However, the packets being handed out to you are much more descriptive, and I'll remain available should any of you have any questions, concerns, or comments. In 2004, we applied for a $1 million grant to fund CCTV cameras for the entire campus. We were awarded $394,657 for that first phase of the grant. The grant included consulting fees, hardware and software, expansion of the communications office, the training of the communication officers, 25 initial cameras, and adequate storage area network so that we could store film for outside and users. Next. Existing communications office was about half the size it was in this picture here, and we had to increase the size of it to accommodate the equipment and the hardware and software that was to go into that operation. Could you show the next picture, Jeff? That is the beginning of our cameras. We have approximately 69 cameras around the campus now. And our system cannot support having them all up at one time, so we have to pick and choose. That is part of the reason that we're going to phase two. Phase two began in May 23rd, 2008. We requested the remainder of the $1 million, which was $605,343. We received $187,060 on the October the 8th. So we are now in the process of completing phase two. When you add both phases up, that's a total of $581,000 and some change for camera equipment around the campus. We think it's a very worthwhile investment. I took the opportunity to show you some additional cameras in some of the new work locations around campus. Each circle here, you may not be able to see it too well, but those are each cameras. The cameras are not very intrusive, and after a while, you don't even notice them anymore around the campus, and that's just the way we want it to be. We want to advertise it, but we don't want to overdo it. So this is the South Campus, as you're all aware, and we've got four different cameras out there to cover up around the South Campus. Next slide, Jeff. Right behind the South Campus is the Parking and Transportation building. We've got cameras there to watch the buses, and we have a large diesel fuel tank there and a lot of expensive equipment there. So we've got cameras out there to take care of that. Pier 4 Tower, we have some new construction down there. We've got the new PFT food court, and we've got the outdoor seating area. And so we've got adequate cameras down here to keep an eye on what's going on down there and let the kids know that there's an acceptable level of behavior that they expected down there. Next one, Jeff. This is our clinical education complex. We've got cameras there. We've got cameras under the canopy here that shows us who comes and goes. This is the children's outdoor playground area, which is important, and the entrance to it. This is the side door here on the alley, and we've got a fixed camera there so we can see who comes and goes in the complex there. And we've got the pan tilt and zoom cameras up here that can watch the neighborhood. Well, up to Van Meter, we have one camera facing north, down the hill, over College Heights Boulevard and further, and we have a camera facing south, which picks up the parking areas and and some buildings to the south there. So we've got very good coverage up there. As a matter of fact, we can pick up the fountain, which sits right at the base of Van Meter Fountain. And tell you a little quick story. Our cameras captured a young man who backed into one of the stanchions, knocked it down. He looked around, put it in his truck, and went and parked. Now, this is the area down in the center of 14th Street. With the cameras on Van Meter, you can see some during the winter months when the leaves aren't up. But once the leaves get up, our view is pretty much obstructed. So this is going to be one of the areas that we're going to pay special attention to. If you recall, this is where a couple of female students were groped by unknown persons in that area. So we're going to try to cover that area so we can have some better coverage down there.
And that's where we have a lot of residential students park.
Yes, of course. And the proposed student housing is going to be down that way, too. Yes. Okay, we think it's a good program. We think it's well worth the cost. Is it going to solve every crime that happens? No, it's not. Is it going to be a deterrent? Yes, we believe it will be. And the main thing is it will give us the ability to go back, retrieve information, and use it for prosecution. So we hope to incorporate this into all our future buildings and activities as we expand the campus, and that's the hope. Any questions? Any concerns?
Who gives you your grants? You apply for these grants. To whom are you applying for the grants?
It was a federal grant.
From what department?
Mike?
Justice Department grants.
Okay.
Senator Bunning was the principal individual who made these possible for us.
Okay.
That's correct. Now, we've also been told that that was the end of it. Don't come back for a third one.
I think they were a little nicer than that, but I said, Chief, I may have been that blunt. I think they were a little nicer than that.
Well, same message.
Do you have adequate cameras up now, you think?
No, we don't have enough. We have a lot more than we have, but we need more, and there are a lot of dead spots around campus where things can occur that we cannot record and watch. So it's imperative that we add them in each new building and as we expand as a campus.
Now, how far can those that you showed was pointing north and one pointing south, how far do they go, and do they come together where you can?
I don't have the exact footage, but let me give you an example. We've got one on top of service supply.
Mm-hmm.
Before they built the new half of the stadium, we could look in the president's box and see what kind of drink he was drinking. The cameras are getting better every year, and we're going to try to keep up with the latest trends, so the cameras will get better and better and better as technology improves, and hopefully the price will come down some too.
Chief, you were mentioning support as well. I know Mr. Johnson also provides some support to the police department as well, vehicles and other things that the company has done.
Without a doubt, Jim Johnson has been very supportive. He provides a vehicle for our department. Before I came, the chief of police had to take a marked police car, which took away from the fleet. And he allowed that not to have to happen because he supplies us with a car that I use, which gives us more cars in the fleet. And it's important in the fleet because any day two cars could go down, one could be in an accident, one could be in a shop being worked on. And we cannot afford not to have cars because, of the shortage. So we thank him very much. He's been very, very supportive of our department.
I'd like to comment. They do a tremendous job with the budget they have. And Chief D is managing a police department the size, well, Western's the size. What size city would we be if we were a city?
Well, I don't know. What's the size of Glasgow? I mean, 22,000 people on our campus with employees and students. So put it in the size of Glasgow, Kentucky.
We've got the category of the city, and the budget is far less than that for departments in most cities, and does a tremendous job. And the other thing they need to be commended for is the students reception of the security in the police department here. They're not officious. They treat the students well. The students respect them. They respect the students. That doesn't occur on every campus. Some campuses, the police are viewed adversarially. And on this campus, they're perceived positively. And I think that's a lot of that credit goes to Chief Dean and his associates and everything. And it was something that was put in place before Chief Dean got here, but he certainly has kept that going and enhanced it.
Thank you.
And be highly commended. The other thing they need is better facilities. He did not tell you that where the cameras come in, they have water running down the wall sometimes. Different things. But that's for a separate discussion at a separate time they do need better facilities, definitely. And those who've had a chance to tour those facilities would agree. And at some point, maybe that could be addressed.
Thank you.
If the bicycles are cool, I think.
The what now?
The bicycles are cool.
If it's the weather warm.
But if you have any questions or concerns about any of that information, there, please give me a call. I'd be happy to talk to you about it.
I just have one question.
Yes, ma'am.
As needs arise, as you're going to put more of these in, are you going to apply again for another grant to get the monies for this?
Well, we are effectively always looking for grants, but in the current economy, grants are drying. Everything is drying up. It's going to become tougher and tougher, but we will continue to look and do the best that we can.
Could we apply under Homeland Security or anything like that to get
it? Yes, but our recent history has shown that somehow or another, universities are considered different than cities. We may be the same size as a city, but universities are looked upon a little bit differently than cities. We haven't had much luck at all with the Homeland Security grants up to now. But we keep trying.
Thank you, Chief. Appreciate all the information. And one other instrument. Pardon?
I'll just say thank you, Bob.
Okay. Campus construction update. Asbury.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I have a construction report that's contained in your booklet that is a standard report that we give for each of your quarterly meetings. I'd like to introduce Brian Russell.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The director of our planning, design, and construction department is going to walk you through the status of some of our projects.
I appreciate this opportunity this morning. We have our slide presentation here for us. The current projects that we have photographs or in the stage that photographs would be important are shown here. This is the exterior shot of the Snow Hall, which is approximately an 83,000 square foot building. We've got good news to report that this building is going to be completed and ready for fall of 09 classes, which is really good news. That's an accelerated schedule for that project. These are some of the interior shots. This building has just primarily labs and classes, so it's very dedicated to the chemistry and the biology departments. This building is a very old building on campus. It is the Science and Technology Hall that is being renovated. It was totally gutted. All new electrical, mechanical is in that building. It's going in. It's going to be ready for, it's about 58,000 square feet. It's for the math department, the dean of Ogden College department, and it's going to be ready for the spring of 2010. This is a project that was recently completed. It is our upgrade to air quality for our coal burning facility here on campus. We just recently completed the EPA, federal EPA compliance testing. All early indications that was successful. These are some of the components that are inside. That was about a $3.6 million project that we just finished. The nice thing is we did not have any interruption of service to our campus during that construction period. This is an early shot of construction where we're replacing Fikes Field. This project is scheduled to be done March. We have our first spring practice scheduled for March 28th.
It'll be a grass field.
It is going to be an artificial turf field.
Oh.
Similar to what we had, though, isn't it?
Similar, yes.
But better.
So we'll have to replace it again.
About
12 years, John?
About 12 years, what we're expecting.
Yeah, with the new addition of the stadium, the field had to be reoriented and positioned. So, but that schedule will be finished in March.
Well, if you continue to have the track will be removed then, right, since we have another track facility.
Yes, yes. There's a service area that's put in, about a 6-foot piece of concrete that goes all the way around, but that's to increase the life and use of our field, so we're service vehicles, traffic, field players and things have an area to go around the field, but yes. This is the west side stadium, just showing you the Hall of Fame. We have now substantially completed the west side and the east side stadium project. We're currently going through our final phases of punch, but we did start classes for the physical education department on the east side. That's Dr. Hay and Dr. Deer, and we've got women's soccer, track, several things. Very nice. If you haven't had an opportunity to stop by, you should. These classrooms are very important. This is probably our oldest building, one of our oldest buildings on campus, built in 1910, has some very unique construction and architecture. That's about a 40,000 square foot building that's existing. We're doing a total renovation of this facility. We're adding on about 14,000 square feet. We're including two new elevators. We're including a new stage. We've added another means of entrance and egress on this building. That's going to be a really, really, really nice addition to this campus. And I think we'll all enjoy this completed project. And this project is scheduled for June of 2010.
And I hope that the university does some sort of 100-year van meter recognition or focus on that centennial building. You don't have a lot of those left, unfortunately.
Right. This is Preston Center, where a tremendous amount of our students and faculty enjoy recreation, workouts, wellness. I do participate in that about four times a week in the morning and really enjoy it myself. This is about a 12,000 square foot addition. It's scheduled to be completed December of 2009, and that's a recent picture of some steel erection that is taking place across. It's going to be really nice. This is our new college education building. It's in process. Right now we're doing the site work, grading, getting ready to start putting footers in. This project is progressing, and obviously with the weather, they're having to do some things to keep moving forward, but at this time we've not seen a schedule impact because of that. That's going to be a very nice addition to our campus. You can see the location across from the mass media building. Is under design right now, and in the schematic phase, it's going to be to our Ivan Wilson Fine Arts Center. It's about an $8 million project. It's early design phases.
are.
We're running over on University of Normal.
Okay. Go back to the Fine Arts Center. That's just a part of the existing building, but the addition is in this front area where you see those holly trees. That will be primarily for our music disciplines, with rehearsal space, practice space, preparation space for our large musical groups, orchestras, bands, etc. There are some other Potter College functions being built into that space, but that will be a space that we do not now have for our large musical groups that will be put in the front of that building. There will be a built-in stage for the amphitheater as part of that plan. But we're just now getting the concepts from architects for that project, and this is one of the projects that the bonds that will be sold on February 4 will fund that we've been waiting to get underway for quite some time.
Thank you. We have an existing parking lot over on University Boulevard that currently has 155 spaces. We're doing a two-phase addition to this parking, which will be ready, and we're going to add another 220 spaces to this area that'll be greatly enjoyed by our students and staff, which will give us about 375 new spaces off of University and Normal. We have an extended campus in Owensboro, Kentucky. Dr. Gene Tice is there doing, it's about a $6 million new building for us. And right now they're just in the site work phase of this project, starting to put the footers in for this project, and it's progressing.
I might point out it's just not administration, it's also classrooms. I think it has 14 classrooms.
Well, it's primarily a classroom instructional facility. We will move our administrative operations in there, but they're relatively modest in comparison to the preponderance of the building for it'll allow us to give Owensboro Community and Technical College some of their space back and get out of some of the modular units that are behind buildings in that campus that we're functioning in right now. And it's a project being built, as you already know, from by Davis County Fiscal Court. And we're fortunate to be able to lease that at a very low rate.
Let me just say something about that. I was really impressed when we had our board meeting down in Owensboro, how committed and involved community leaders were sharing their story with us. They did a fantastic job. I've just not seen anything quite like that. It was remarkable.
I think this building is going to be really important to growth enrollment on the Owensboro campus, because right now it really doesn't have a presence. It's just at the community college, and they really are cramped, and they really don't have adequate facilities. So I'm really hoping it's going to improve degrees from there.
Out on our south campus, we've added a new dining services area and bookstore. Mm-hmm. And that's all that I have to report.
Thank you, Brian.
A few of the smaller projects are outlined in your pages here, but these are the primary ones underway.
Questions? Yes. The building that is going up right now in Elizabethtown, what is that? They're calling it the Elizabethtown Post-Secondary Center. Will WKU have any use of that space? I know they're in the Central Post-Secondary Regional Education Building now, but they're building in Elizabethtown, and I know we have some of them.
Now, that's phase two of the Central Regional Education Facility, and it is primarily ECTC space. Now, we will have some space in that building, but mostly we'll have a bit more space in the current building as ECTC moves into that new building, which is fine because the access to the space that we in the existing building is easy to get to. It's good space. So we're going to get more space out of it, mostly in the old building. And it's not that old building. It was just completed a few years ago. So, yes, we're being accommodated with that new facility, but most of the new building will be ECTC use.
And any, no, North Central Education Foundation, was that land given to WKU?
Yes, that land is behind that construction site on the hillside across the parking lot. And that is a land, 20 acres, dedicated to a WKU Elizabethtown building that will have to be state funded. We had hoped to get state funding in anticipation of meeting BRAC needs. Lois has been involved in those discussions for the last couple of years. But, you know, I don't think state funding for capital projects is going, well, there's nothing going to be done before the 2010 to 12 biennial budget. And I just don't know how priorities will stack up between now and then.
Jonathan, we'll be, if you think where the campus is, and you're going toward the library,
mm-hmm.
we'll be on that side.
Okay.
That's where the 20 acres are.
Embedded in as part of the progress report in your agenda item is a reference to an item called an ESPC, Energy Saving Performance Contract. I've been sharing with you over the past meetings how we're excited about trying to get that project initiated. And what I'd like to do this morning is introduce you to two representatives of Johnson Controls. Cynthia Brubaker and Rick Smith are here with us this morning to provide you with some basic information about the scope of this project and the potential benefits. And who are our new partner. We're very excited about our partnership with Johnson Controls and what they will mean for us as we proceed with this project.
Hi, I'm Cindy Brubaker. This is Rick Smith. We're with the Higher Education Solutions Division for Johnson Controls. Johnson Controls is the leader in providing energy efficiency products and services worldwide, bar none. Part of that is, one of those services is performance contracting. Performance contracting sort of came about 25 years ago, and Johnson Controls sort of helped package it in terms of how a facility can take energy improvements and use the savings generated by those improvements to then fund the equipment that created the improvements. So it's a self-funding mechanism. And in the time that performance contracting has been around, Johnson Controls has done nearly 3,000 contracts worldwide, which is more than any other energy services company. And of those, about 10%, almost 300, were on peer campuses throughout the United States, both community colleges, private colleges, and large four-year universities. So we've been formally involved in the process here since the summer of 2007 when the solicitation began for vendor qualifications. And just before the holiday break, we were notified that at that point we've been selected to move forward to develop a project. We'll talk a little bit about the milestones involved in that, but in doing so, just I'm really proud to report that the first milestone has already occurred in that we were on campus last week while classes were still on break, and our group of engineers went through all of the buildings that were included in the project to develop a list of all of your equipment and to identify any potential energy inefficiencies as well as document opportunities for improvement. The next step that will happen is we will gather all of that information and compare it to what new equipment would be, how new equipment would be operating, and then we'll come back to John and his administration and to the team that he's assembled, and we will basically present a laundry list of all possible improvements. And then we begin bundling together a project that will create a self-funding opportunity so that all of the improvements can be implemented within a set time period and they will still be self-funding. We hope, and no dates, but we hope that that can occur by summer. And at that point, once everything has been approved, we can actually sign the contract and move forward. Once that happens, the construction can begin right away. you can also begin to roll out some of the savings from the improved equipment as soon as it's installed. So even within the next year, you could see some of the savings start to be realized from the updated equipment. Is there anything you want to...
No, I think what's important and what Western Kentucky University has engaged with is a process and a partnership of working with an energy services company that will take you down the road of improving energy efficiency. We also have a student engagement program that will be part of this initiative right here. There's internship initiatives that will be availability. I think what we're looking at is really taking the campus to the next step of impacting your sustainability plan that you have in place.
Exactly. So if you look at what are the goals, what are the long-term objectives of this project, and what do we think that your successes will be? The range is very broad in terms of conserving energy, of how much you should expect to see. You know, we can come back with a target number once the detailed study is complete for basically just energy reduction, how much we can reduce your consumption throughout campus. So that's a tangible result. The intangible results are the publicity that we will help you generate in terms of a successful project. Greening of a campus is extremely important these days for student recruitment. You've already taken steps along those ways with your sustainability coordinator. We're working with her as well as other people under John to make sure that the initiatives that you already have are going to be included. We're going to look, nothing is off the table as we sit here today. We're looking at all types of renewable opportunities, all types of sustainable efforts.
How many buildings? The buildings included in the project. How many buildings are included in the project?
Right now, the scope is 44, which is pretty much all of main campus and south campus.
Excluding residence hall.
Excluding residence hall.
And no residence hall. How come no residence hall?
And the well,
they're going to do their own project.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
Okay.
We're anticipating right around 4.5 million square feet.
Let me ask a follow-up to the Student Life question and then a different question. Student Life is doing their own. Is Johnson also facilitating this, or are you doing it internally?
Please.
We'll have completed all of our renovations in this hall this summer, so we've already addressed these things in our renovation projects. And then one of the projects that we did over the semester break, we replaced all the lighting and ceilings in the Zacharias and Meredith that were built in 91, which were the only, the remaining old style fluorescent lights.
Right.
So we've already addressed all those.
When we look at the big picture, like when we evaluate our success in greening the campus, we can look at all of this, though, as an integrated whole, even though you've taken the responsibility for doing it yourself.
Yes.
Okay. As representative of faculty, I just want to make sure that as you move forward, and I am very green. I mean, I'm extremely green. I'm extremely excited about this and think this is long overdue. However, when the closing plan that came forward from the Sustainability Committee was popped on us 3 weeks before the end of the semester, it was very clear that a lot of the implications for our academic mission had not been considered, from the fact that people were working in their offices the week, had planned to work in their offices the week after exams, to the really basic things like it'd be nice to have the library open so I can actually get some stuff out of the library if I need that. I just found out that IT support was available up to the time that grades were due, but that was not communicated to the faculty. We thought everybody was shut down, and we thought we were flying blind. Most importantly, my colleagues in Ogden College, I heard from them more than any other constituency, biologists who were panicked that their freezers would be turned off, that their various things would be turned off. And when the plan was initially communicated to us, there was no disclaimer. It just said, this stuff's all going off. Everything's getting unplugged. The end. So I would simply ask that you be mindful, and since you work in higher education, I'm sure you are, that this is a working campus that works 12 months, and faculty don't punch the clock. Our research agendas go on 24/7, 12 months. People were in their offices freezing their butts off between Christmas and New Year's to get projects done. So please be mindful of the fact that we have work to do that is not the traditional face-to-face in the classroom. And it bothers us that mythology that we only work when we're sitting, when we're in a classroom teaching students. It just seemed to play to that. So we ask going forward that you be very mindful and understand that the faculty are super, super supportive of this.
Absolutely. May I ask? One of the issues, one of the drivers that would create a project like this for a company like Johnson Controls is the fact that existing equipment may not be in place to be able to handle certain setbacks, it doesn't handle necessarily a flexible schedule that you're describing. It's sort of all or nothing. And that's part of the infrastructure improvement that you could expect from a project like this is to get more current, more environmentally friendly equipment that will be able to support exactly the types of schedules that you're describing.
As I'm reading, my concern is the funding of these projects. With the contract, if Johnson Controls says that some and such, if in the University Center, there must be so many new projects. If it does not aid in the energy savings, that money would not be there. Is that a fallback or some sort of part of the contract? I mean, I'm concerned that we won't generate as much savings as
I take that.
We're sort of hoping to.
Johnson, the beauty of this arrangement is that we will create an agreement with Johnson Controls whereby whatever we agree they're going to do will have a direct, measurable, verifiable savings. And there will be a procedure and a protocol that will be created to be able to do that over the life of the contract. And if any time during the life of the contract the savings is not realized as projected, they guarantee the savings. And they will come back and correct anything that needs to be corrected to ensure that the savings is realized. So it's a guaranteed savings, and we're using third-party financing. So this is off university books. So this is the best of all the worlds. We get our facilities improved, we save energy, we use somebody else's money, and we have a guarantee from Johnson Controls that it's going to happen financially.
Yeah, I just to really dovetail on that one real quick, we have $4 billion worth of outstanding guarantees right now annually to universities, local governments, healthcare. And our shortfall rate, which is if we don't make the guarantee on an annual basis, is less than 0.5%. Now, that's substantial in $4 billion, though, if you think about it. It's, I mean, the percentage is low, but, one of our larger clients that we have a shortfall in, and the shortfalls come from a variety of things, is Southeastern Missouri University. State University, and that shortfall check we write to them annually is $250,000. And so we live up to that obligation. At the same time, as John mentioned, we're just not going to install the program and then come back each year and audit. There's going to be an ongoing initiative for us to help out with the program that's there, plus look for additional opportunities for you as well to help support that. So
we won't sign a deal with them to move forward until we have a very good M&V, measurement and verification definition in the project. After all, I don't want to go on maybes and hopefuls and possibilities. It's going to have very quantifiable, measurable outcomes that can be traced, tracked, and measured.
And in addition, the program that John's referring to, our measurement and verification, we've already assembled our team that's going to be assigned specifically to Western Kentucky. The person that is managing the measurement and verification for this project is a WKU grad. He actually graduated in May and was hired on by Johnson Controls, and then this project came about, and now he's going to be the person. His family lives here in Bowling Green, and he's going to be the person that actually manages the M&V for the project.
That'll be an interesting situation.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We have typically not had a Residence Hall Student Life Foundation report at our meetings in the past, so I'd like to start by adding today at least a brief update from our Student Life Foundation relevant to our residence halls. And Brian's got a handout for you, and he can walk you through some of the activities that's going on in the Student Life Foundation for the betterment and improvement of our facilities.
Thank you, Jonathan. Oh, Jonathan, I will start. Make sure that this gets in your packet in the future. Again, I know I was, seems like I was just here not long ago, but it was just, I guess it was last spring, and we have done a lot since then and have a lot on the table to continue to do. And you all remember back in the fall, when you had a meeting at Spiritual Tower, you saw the food court that was completed, and that was again done through our reserve fund. You see on the table, we have the description, the estimated cost, the start and completion date, estimates, and then the funding sources. So in Douglas Key Hall, as you recall, this summer we renovated the north tower of that building. This summer we'll renovate the south tower. We did replace all the windows and change the outside look of that building this past summer. And again, as we do our renovations, we are looking at those energy efficiencies to replace the windows. Obviously, there's a long payback on that. In some cases, the payback may be 15 years or more, but it also helps with the repairs on the buildings also. In McCormick Hall, Gilbert Hall, Grove Harlan, this past summer, we replaced all the mechanical units, all the mechanics in those buildings. This summer, we're going back in, replacing all the furniture, replacing all the flooring, and repainting all the bedrooms. So those three buildings in the valley then will be at the same standards as Minton Hall, Bemis Barnes, and Poland are at. In Pierce Ford, this past summer, we totally renovated from 20th floor up. We are going to be very busy this summer. We're actually going to do from the third floor to 19th, so the remaining floors of that building, we're going to work to totally renovate this summer, and that's really a year ahead of schedule. We have had several meetings with our contractors, have a great group that we work with, and they feel that we can complete the entire building this summer as opposed to the next summer. Again, when you were down around Pierce Ford, you saw the landscaping that we've been doing, that has been completed in the courtyard between Poland, Pierce Ford, and Douglas Keene. This summer, we hope to do work behind Pierce Ford and University Boulevard to increase the landscaping in that area. This summer, we did a little landscaping in front of Poland Hall also to make it more conducive to students being out around the building. One of the things that the next item, the compactor, may seem like a minor issue. Most of the residence halls, before we started renovating, had trash chutes. The students would put their trash in the chute, and it would go down to a dumpster in the first floor. As we renovated buildings, we took those and put compactors in, and it really has helped us reduce our costs on the refuge, and it's actually compacted, so it's less, same tonnage goes to landfill, but takes up less space in landfill. Again, just briefly, we talked about during the winter term, we were able to go into Zach Rice and Meredith Hall to replace all the ceilings and lighting in those buildings. Those buildings were built in 91. Obviously, lighting has become more efficient since then, and so we took that opportunity to replace all of those lights. Originally, those buildings did not have a generator. They had battery packs for emergency lighting, and we have installed a temporary diesel generator that will install permanently a natural gas generator once it comes in. Again, natural gas runs more efficient than what the diesel generator does in less maintenance. We have replaced two boilers in two of our buildings, and third floor this summer and this spring we'll move the boilers at first floor actually up on the penthouse on the 20th floor, and we'll be moving those down to the ground floor and pretty moves into better health with maintenance and upkeep both those. And then with the last couple of items, there's just some things that we do this summer, looking to add access control, starting our phasing of access controls into the residence halls, and replacing our key cores and deadbolts in one thing that we are looking at, with actually testing this semester, as you can imagine, residence halls, a lot of life to stay on a long period of time. So we're putting in motion sensors. We're testing it in one of our bathroom facilities to see, middle of night, not a lot of people up and about, to see if that would be a location to put in some motion sensors. So, as we are looking at ways to reduce our use and reduce some expenses in our expenses.
In light of the power outages that we've had in this area, should that affect Western Kentucky University, then how are we able to deal with those?
We would not have total electricity in the hall. We would have emergency lighting, which would allow there to be lighting in the hallway. The elevators would still operate, but in the restrooms, all the emergency systems would work. We still have water and things, but students would not necessarily have electricity in their bedrooms as such. To have a generator that would do that, we'd have to have our own power plant, basically.
Yeah, right. We have emergency generators on many buildings, not all, but many buildings across campus, and certainly our backup systems and IT deck are covered for power outages.
There'd be heat. There'd be heat.
Well, the steam plant
could come from steam.
Operates. Now, the fan coil, the blowers would not operate.
Right.
But you still would have some radiant heat.
They need it. Minimal.
But again, enough to keep pipes from freezing.
Question. How are we doing as far as getting all of the dorms renovated? Is this pretty much complete the task?
This will complete it. Time to start over again. Again, completing the three buildings of Valley, Church Building, and Keene, we would have touched every building except Zacharias and Barrett that were built in 91. All would have been totally renovated, bathrooms, bedrooms, common areas, totally renovated since 2000.
Well, I might say that there's no other institution in the state that can say that. They have a new building that they're proud of. They can't say that they have renovated all of their resident halls.
There's no question that the quality of residential life for our students is unparalleled in Kentucky.
Right. The big thing this model allowed us to do is actually address those deferred maintenance issues. We have reserves to replace carpet in the hallways, every 5 to 7 years. We have reserves to replace windows. Windows are not a big payback when it comes to energy savings, but that's something that we're doing our deferred maintenance purpose.
I think that's probably $21 million on your estimated cost column there, Brian.
So,
I think you wish it was only $1,875,000, but
I will share one other item that we talked about. Total enrollment in the residence halls for the spring, our numbers are up about 185 students from last year this time. We have about 48 living on campus in the spring, so our numbers are mirroring what Dean is showing up.
What's your percentage capacity?
I have not done the calculation. I know that it's probably around 90%, but we normally lose 100 students at graduation are not returning from one semester to the other. Dean and enrollment management have done a tremendous job of
bringing in transfer students. This is really a time that we see a lot of transfer students coming to campus, and then those students that have been studying abroad for the fall semester are coming back.
Well, I will say, as a parent who has moved her child into the residence hall, I mean, I was thrilled with her, the facilities and her room, and it's just wonderful. My room is not that nice.
We don't get complaints. So a lot of times, students going to the parent want to see at Western, and as Howard said, they haven't been to other campuses, not only in Kentucky, but across the nation. Thank you all.
Thanks, Brandon. I have one last item for you. Here. And this is going back to our discussion about energy savings. And I thought I would give you the final report from the shutdown that we sort of touched upon earlier. I must mention the energy savings process to conduct this was a one-time an experiment. Our schedule actually provided us with an opportunity we'd never had before, and so it was in November when we decided that we wanted to try to conduct this experiment, and we did send out notifications, and to the extent possible, we did everything we could to accommodate the special needs of the faculty with meetings that was conducted with deans and others, with our facility staff, and accommodations to the extent possible were made. But what I wanted you to see here was that as a net result of the 3 weeks with the adjustment for the first week and then the following 2 weeks where we make some additional adjustments, the university did achieve the goal that was set for us. We exceeded it, in fact. And the calculated savings from all utilities, $128,000. From that shutdown, and the environmental improvements or environmental impact from the reduction of this energy is outlined at the bottom in the green section. We needed to do this not only because it's the right thing to do, but financially going into this season of the year with our utility budget, we were already projecting a shortfall of $521,000 in our utility budget for the current year as a result of increases in the rates from TVA that had been levied that was unexpected. Quite frankly, we did not budget for near the level of that increase. Just to give you an example, TVA increased their rates 7% in April of 2008. That became effective then, and then they increased the rates again in October of 2008, 21% on top of that, which meant compared to the previous year, our utility rates for electricity was 28% more than the previous fiscal year. They came back as a result of the cost of energy reductions that we all experienced in the later couple months of the year, and have reduced that by 6% as of January 1. But still, as of January 1, our electrical rates are 22% more than what they were in the previous fiscal year. And that's not what we budgeted for. We had no idea. This savings, this effort, this one-time experiment that was successful, we're pleased with the results, will reduce our deficit in the budget by $128,000. So now our revised shortfall in the budget is $393,000. We think that through additional conservation measures and energy policy that we think we can establish and protocols moving forward, that we can eat into that substantially between now and June 30. So, you know, the good news is it was a successful event. I wanted you to see the final numbers. We're going to be moving forward doing a lot to better manage our utility and energy consumption.
Sir.
Is that yours?
Trying to lock that all affect behavior.
Dr. Rainsdale, I'll follow up on this. I'm sorry. Because this is so successful, we are continuing. I know you advised that there will be a week off in July.
Yes, and that's changed. I'm going to notify the campus this afternoon. We've done a lot of analysis, and we did everything. I did everything I could. We did everything we could to try to make that work, and there are far more events scheduled than I had any idea were scheduled for that week. for the board members' interest. We had planned on doing this the week following the 4th of July. 4th of July is being reserved on a Friday this summer. We planned on a shutting down for the week following the 4th of July and fully expected to achieve savings in excess of this because it costs more to cool than it does to heat, particularly that time of year. So, but we have numerous, and I don't know the exact number, John's done the analysis, but we have many events scheduled with conferences and camps and groups and visitors and SCATS and VAMPI with gifted studies being two that we're particularly concerned about. And our residence halls, for the most part, are going to be pretty full, not with WKU students so much, but with visitors to the campus. And dining halls are going to be at full use, and it is just not going to be practical because when we got into the discussion, most of those things are already scheduled. So we're not going to be able to do that in July, and we will return to our normal summer hours we've experienced in recent years. But we will, as John just indicated, we're going to look at these measures for weekends. In the future, there will be other times when we will do this for extended periods of time. Now that we know that there's real savings to be achieved, and we'll always try to accommodate conveniences and inconveniences for those affected. But the July date just didn't work the way we thought it was going to when we made that announcement, I guess, in December.
And I applaud this. I mean, I think this is great, and we found out a lot of things. It was a very learning experience on a lot of things for places that aren't light switches. That, who knew? I do know that a lot of staff.
The only way you can achieve a savings in that building is to shut off the circuit breaker.
And so that was, I mean, this was a great, and I applaud it completely. The only problem is because of the email that said staff were going to be off for a week in July, there are a lot of people who've already planned vacations around that time expecting the week off, and now they're going to be told that it's not. So.
And I feel you, because that is actually exactly how faculty reacted on the other side. I mean, I think I made the point earlier, I'm not going to beat it to death. Mistakes have been made, and the biggest mistake was in the chain of communication and not involving the faculty and staff who were involved in all of this. And, you know, interests are different. I mean, staff applauded the extra week of shutdown. They got some extra vacation. Faculty viewed it as a slap in the face to the academic mission because the things we needed to do our jobs and do our research over the break were closed. No library, no IT support. We didn't know that. Right. We didn't know that. And again, it's just back to the communication issue. I mean, it was fast. It seems like all of the details were not worked out, as I think this speaks to. And going forward, I hope that we'll learn from this experience, involve all of the relevant parties in this. And we all want the same thing. We want to reduce our costs. We want to be green. We want everyone to be able to do their jobs in a safe and comfortable and green environment. And we want the academic mission to be at the forefront. I mean, my impression is, have the faculty, this is the first I've heard about this, do faculty know that they're not going to be teaching 4-week summer school, they're going to be teaching 5 weeks, which is better, by the way. I think that's a much better thing, but nonetheless.
That decision's just been, I mean, the decision that we simply cannot do has just been made in the last couple of days. Unless Barbara's communicated.
What we're saying is we're urging you to communicate this to the relevant constituencies as quickly as possible. Because it's just it's demoralizing. It's utterly demoralizing.
The modified summer schedule that was proposed was created in part due to my request of the deans to consider modifying summer school to save money. My request was, could we operate on a 4-day week instead of a 5-day week and other options? They studied that. They came back to us, Dr. Birch, the dean suggested, why don't we amend the summer schedule that creates this week in summer school? And so as a result of that proposal, we thought possibly it could be done, that the summer school schedule would be amended. Well, it's more than summer school, obviously, so that's what we have We've now put together all the pieces, and the reality is the combined number of groups that will be here or leaving anytime during that period is much greater in terms of numbers, people, and buildings than was earlier anticipated, and so it's just not possible.
And I think all we're saying is that's the kind of thing that should have been known before any public decisions were made, and let's just try to get all those ducks in a row next time before public proclamations go out, and try to involve everybody who's involved with this, or representatives of everybody, and make sure that everybody in the chain is talking to the relevant people. Just say, look, have you talked to the department heads? Have you talked to the staff supervisors? Just make sure everybody in the chain is talking to their people so we don't have, you know, similar demoralizing situations.
I just want to say John did come, and we spent a lot of time at council meetings. And Patty, it may not have gotten communicated, but I do want you to know there really were discussions, and maybe what we can do in the summit is talk about what those were. But we, Doug will tell you that we have list by room, by college, by department, and it was never without complications. I understand that. But your point's well taken, but I think there was genuine effort to consider that, and we knew there was not going to be a perfect solution. The change, I did communicate a few days ago to the deans that we could still accommodate a five-week course. So we're staying on the schedule we set up. So I guess we've had a learning experience.
Absolutely.
Anything else?
That's it. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your insight and seeing ahead of time to do this and to save this kind of money, and not knowing at the time that you're going to have that big increase, but it's just commendable that you were able to do this. We appreciate you for that effort.
Thank you very much.
That's the end of our report.
Thank you. We will recess at this time for lunch, and we'll do on number item 10.